Verse 2, it says, "And a great multitude followed the Lord because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased." Great multitude of people, thousands and thousands of them. It says in verse 5, "Our Lord lifted up his eyes on this multitude, and he had compassion upon them. He saw that they had nothing to eat. He turned to one of the disciples, Philip, and he said to him, 'Where shall we buy provisions?'" Something for these people to eat. And Philip said, "Well, a large sum of money, Lord, wouldn't be sufficient to feed this multitude." And then Andrew came to him and said, "Well, there's a little boy here who's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" And our Lord said, "Well, make the men sit down." There was plenty of grass in that area. Now, these thousands of people. And he had them all sit down. And then he took the loaves and blessed it, blessed the bread and the fish. And he began to break the loaves and give it to his disciples. Give it to the disciples, and the disciples began to feed the people, give the people the bread and the fish. Everybody ate as much as they could hold. And then it says in verse 12, "When they were filled, he said to his disciples, 'Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be left.' And they gathered together and filled 12 baskets with fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over. And then those men, when they saw that miracle that Jesus did, they said, 'This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world, that great prophet, that great leader of Israel.'" Moses said, this reference here is to Moses' promise in Deuteronomy, where he said, "The Lord shall raise up from among the brethren one like unto myself, a great prophet. And him you shall hear." And they were astounded by this miracle. They were greatly impressed by it. And they said, "Surely this is that prophet that Moses said would come." In verse 15, "When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force and make him a king." They wanted the kingdom of Israel to be restored. The power and greatness and majesty of David's kingdom. They wanted Israel to be delivered from the bondage of Rome. They wanted Israel to be back into the limelight and the glory. And they thought, here's our opportunity. Here's a miracle worker. Here's a great prophet. Here's a man that can take a small amount of food and feed a multitude. Let's make him king. And so our Lord slipped away from them, went up into the mountain, and left them down there. And his disciples went down to the seashore, the Sea of Tiberias, and they took a boat, and they went across to the other side, towards the other side. And that's when the sea, the tempest began to roll, and the storm fell upon the ship, and a great wind blew, and Christ appeared to them walking on the water. You remember the story. And he calmed the sea, and Peter tried to walk on water to it. And then on the next day, the people were all still gathered together, all that great multitude. And they saw that Christ was no longer over here. And the disciples were not over here. They saw them take a boat to go across the sea. So they began to get in all kind of little boats and other shipping and so forth, and they went on the other side looking for Jesus of Nazareth. They went over to the other side of the sea. And that brings me to my text here in verse 25, the beginning of the text. And so they found him on the other side. And they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come over here? How did you come over here?" Well, our Lord certainly was not going to say to them, "I walked on the water." That would immediately kindle that flame again of making him king if they could find one who could heal the sick and feed the multitude and walk on water, they'd immediately make him the king. So our Lord said to them in verse 26, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me. You seek me. You have a purpose in this seeking. And that purpose is this. It wasn't because you saw the miracles like those written about in John chapter 2. But I'll tell you why you seek me. Because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. That's the reason you seek me. Is because your interest is altogether in your physical needs and your physical well-being. That's all in the world you're interested in. You're interested in something to eat and something to wear and some place to live and some ease and comfort for this body. That's why you seek me. And then he said in verse 27, don't strive and labor and work for the meat that perisheth. Don't work and labor for material things that perish. The scripture says the fashion of this world fadeth away. Everything that our eyes behold, everything that appeals to our senses, and hearing and smelling and tasting and touching and seeing and all these things shall someday fade away, pass away. Don't labor for those things that perish, but set your affection and your goal and your interest. Labor for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Labor for that meat which the Son of Man shall give you. For him hath the Father, God the Father, sealed. Him hath the Father commissioned, anointed, sent to be the Redeemer. Don't strive for what you shall eat and drink and wear. This is what the heathen seek. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things will be added to you as you need them. But that's much like our day. Like I said, this scripture is so appropriate. But today, our religious, covetous, materialistic day, that's the vein in which we think. That's the direction in which we move. That's the direction of the average preacher's ministry and message. Laboring for materialism, financial security, and good health, and all these things that appeal to the flesh. Don't labor for those things. Christ said, don't strive for those things. And then they said unto him, now here is the question of the self-righteous that's still ever occupied with doing. Doing, doing, doing. They have the idea that salvation comes to those who earn it. Salvation comes to those who work for it. Like the rich young ruler came to Christ. He said, what good thing shall I do to inherit eternal life? Everything's materialistic. Even when we talk about heaven, it's no more tears, no more pain. It's the family circle, it's meeting mother, it's a continuation of this materialism, it's a continuation of this natural covetousness on our part. And even in getting there, we want to do something. They say, well, what should we do? Give us something to do. What should we do that we might work the works of God? How do we get in on this thing? And Jesus introduced them to a work they'd never thought of or heard of. And that is faith. This had never occurred to them. He said to them in verse 29, he said, this is the work of God. This is the work of God. That you believe on him whom God has sent. This is the one thing God requires of you, that you believe. This is the one thing that God requires of sinners, to believe, to receive, and to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the one thing. But this is not, they don't even think in this area. They don't even think in this area. They're not even conditioned to this area. They want to do something. And then they said unto him, verse 30, well, what sign do you show us then? Show us a sign. Here we are back again. Without the Spirit of God, it is utterly impossible to bring a natural man to think spiritually. He can't think spiritually. He can't determine spiritually. He can't act spiritually. He's in an area and a world of flesh. Doing, going, giving, wearing, eating, feeling, all of these things. That's his whole world. That's the way these people were. They ran over there where Christ was. When'd you come over here? When'd you come over here? He said, I know why you're following me. I know what your interest is in me. You ate the loaves and were filled, and you want me to give you some more. You want me to provide your needs. You want me to fix it so you don't have to labor or work anymore. Don't set your heart on these things. Don't labor and work for the things of the flesh. All these things shall fade away. He said, labor for that meat which the Father shall give you through the Son. For him hath the Son's... Well, what shall we do? He said, believe. Believe. Well, they said, show us a sign. Show us a sign then that we may see and believe you. What do you work? Show us a sign. Show us a miracle. Show me and I believe. I want to see something. They said, our fathers, when they're out there in the wilderness, when they were in the desert, it is written, these fellows knew some Bible. They could quote Bible. They said, it's written in Psalm 78:25-27, that Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat. Bread fell all around. They ate angels' food. That's what it was called. Even quail flew down into their camp, and they had food on the ground, and Moses gave them the... That's the reason they followed Moses, because he showed them miracles. He showed them signs. He gave them bread from heaven. Moses took care of their physical needs. Their clothes didn't wear out. He took care of their food. They ate food, the bread and the quail and the water from the rock. And our Lord said, look at verse 32. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. To begin with, Moses didn't give you that physical bread either by any power or virtue in himself. That was my Father that gave you that bread. But that bread was material and typical, and they ate that bread and died. They ate that bread and they died. But my Father giveth you true bread. True spiritual bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he that cometh down from heaven and giveth life to this world. Life to this world. And here they go again, like the woman at the well. You remember when our Lord said, you drink of this well, you'll thirst again. But if you drink of the water which I shall give you, you'll never thirst. She said, well, give me that water that I come not to the well to draw. Give me that one. That's what we're all looking for. We're looking for an easier way. And if the Lord can provide it, then hooray for him. They said in verse 34, well, give us this bread. That's what we're asking you. And Jesus said to them, I'm the bread. I'm the bread. This is the thing that we cannot seem to get across. I am the bread. I am the bread. Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Your brother will live again. I know he'll live again in the resurrection, but if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. I'm the resurrection. I'm the resurrection. I'm the life. Lord, give us this bread. Give us this bread. Give us this water that we come not here to draw again. Give us this bread that we eat and we never will hunger again. And this water we'll never thirst again. I am the bread. I am the bread myself. I am the Messiah sent to redeem. I am the fountain of life. I am the sacrifice for sin. I am the vine. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am all that a man will ever need, all that God the Father requires. I am all that the law demands. I am all that justice demands. I am the bread of life. I am. I am. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:30, of God are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, a knowledge of God, an understanding of His kingdom and His glory and His righteousness. Wisdom, righteousness, that perfection which God requires, which His law demands. He has made unto us righteousness, sanctification, immaculate holiness, what you were talking about, set apart, declared to be holy, regarded as holy, accepted as holy. He is our holiness. Redemption, bought back, purchased. He is all those things. He, of God, is made unto us all those things. They're in Christ. They're of Christ. They're through Christ. They're because of Christ. And He is those things. He doesn't just provide those things. He is those things. That's what I'm saying. That's what He's saying to them. I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Colossians 2:9 says, in Him, in Christ, dwelleth, abideth, continually, ever, all the fullness of God. All the fullness of God. Bodily, in Him. And you're complete in Him. This is what we can't. My generation of religious people have the mistaken idea that Jesus Christ somehow made a way to God, that He provided a road which we take at His expense, that we take this road, that we walk this road with Him as our example or as our guide. He is the road. He is the way. He is the bread. He Himself. God loves me in Christ, accepts me in Christ, regards me in Christ. I'm an heir in Christ. I am Christ. See what I'm talking about? We were elected in Christ. And when He did what He did on this earth in His obedience, that was you and I in Him fulfilling. We're crucified with Christ, buried and risen with Christ. When God accepts Christ, He accepts us. Christ liveth in us. But, He said in verse 36, now watch this, but I said to you, you have seen me, you have heard me. This is the sad note. You've seen me, you've heard me, you've listened to me, you've observed me, but you don't believe. You just don't believe. Well, they had religion now, mind you. Oh, yeah, they had their holy days. And they did their fasting and tithing and kept the Sabbath day. They did all these things. These people read the Scriptures. But Christ stood among them and in the midst of them, and He said, you've seen me. You've listened to me. I've told you who I am. I am the bread. I am the vine. I am the way. I am God. I am the water of life. And you've listened to me, and you've sized me up, and you've observed me, but you don't believe me. The Scriptures bore witness of me. The prophets bore witness of Christ. To Him give all the prophets witness. The Father hath borne witness. He said, this is my Son. Hear Him. The works that He did bore witness of Him. The apostles bore witness of Him. And millions have borne witness of Him to us. And yet men believe not on Him. They believe religious facts. They accept religious facts. They follow religious facts. And they practice religious work. But they don't believe on Him. And there's no peace and rest and satisfaction in any other. Most religious people are not happy. They've got religion, but they hadn't found any peace. They've got a profession of faith, but they hadn't found any rest. They've been baptized and joined the church, but there's no satisfaction. They blow here and there and yonder. They hear something new, and they go that way, and they hear something else, and they go that way. There's no lasting strength or continuing hope or foundation in any human program. Only in Christ. And he said, but you won't believe on me. Men will come to the front. They'll come to the baptistry. They'll come to the table. They'll come to a preacher. They'll come to a law. They'll come to a church constitution. They'll come to a social event. They'll come to a revival. They'll come to a Bible conference. They'll come to a Bible class. They'll come to a sharing session. They'll come to anything but to Christ. They will not come to Christ. And there's no life anywhere but in Christ. And no peace. He said, I am the rest and the peace and the life. He said, but you've listened to me. You've observed me. You've listened to my words. You've observed the miracles. You've listened to the record that God had given concerning his Son. And yet he said, you believe not. I hold your seat. Now here it is. This is our day right here. You know, we get the wrong idea about these folks here in John chapter 6. We think they're just a bunch of paupers and beggars and rabble-rabble. Oh no, these were religious folks. You heard them quoting the scripture, didn't you? These were religious folks. They talked about the prophet Moses wrote about, and it's written he gave them bread from heaven. These folks are religious people. And yet they're interested here in what religious people that they're interested in. That's what makes these television preachers so popular. They're interested in health and wealth and materialism and financial security and all these physical things. And that's what this outfit here wanted. And Christ said, I know why you're following me. I know exactly what's on your mind. You want some more bread. I'm the bread. I'm the bread. I'm the bread of life. And if you can get it, if somehow get it through your head, at the heart or somewhere, that to eat of me, to drink of me, is to never hunger and never thirst again. And these clothes become secondary to the robe of righteousness. These are necessary things while we live on this earth, you know. And food for this body becomes it becomes secondary to feeding upon Christ. The earthly family becomes secondary to the spiritual family. Earthly ambitions become secondary to that ambition to be like Christ, to awake with his likeness. You understand what I'm saying? When you feed on Christ. He's that bread. But he said in verse 37, now watch it. All that the Father giveth me will come to me. You've heard these things, and listened, observed them, been exposed to them, but you do not believe. But I'm telling you this. All that my Father giveth me will come to me. They're going to believe. In other words, some people shall certainly and surely come to Christ. Thousands will travel the broad religious road to hell. But some are going to see what we're preaching. Him whom we preach. And they're coming to him. You know why they're coming? Father gave them to him. That's why they come. They're coming to him. They're not coming to a program. They're coming to him. They're not coming to a preacher. They're coming to him. They're not coming to a denomination. They're coming to Christ. They're coming to Christ in repentance. They're coming to Christ in faith. They're coming to Christ having seen spiritually and heard spiritually and understood spiritually who he is, what he did, why he did it, and where he is. They know, and they're going to come to it because the Father gave them to him. And he says they're going to be saved. Verse 40 says, and this is the will of him that sent me, that of everyone that seeth me and believeth on me will have everlasting life. They're going to be saved. Every one of them. This is the thing that drives us forth in the ministry of the Word. This is the thing that keeps us on radio and television and writing messages and printing sermons. And God's got some sheep out there that are going to believe on Him. They're going to come to Him. Yes, sir, they are. The vast multitude and majority of religious people are going to keep on clamoring for things and things and things. But His sheep are going to believe on Him. They're going to fall in love with Him. Because the Father gave them to Him. And they're going to be saved. So then, if I come to Christ, two things are true. If I can come to Christ, I'm not talking about coming to the front or coming to the church or coming to a profession or coming to a position on doctrine. I'm talking about if I can come to Christ, two things are true. You know what they are? Number one, the Father gave me to Christ. If I can come, He gave me to Christ, or I wouldn't have come. And secondly, I'll be saved. I'll be fed if I come to Christ. If I come to Him, because that's where the food is. That's where the life is. If I come to Christ, if I can get around these soul winners, if I can get around these hucksters, if I can get around these present-day religionists and get to Christ, if I can do it by faith in heart, then the Father gave me to Christ. He intended that I should come, and I'm going to be saved. Doris and I have some squirrels over at the house that we've made pets out of. We're getting a little old, and we sit in the swing and feed the squirrels. Our granddaughter, Carrie Grace, walked up to the house Saturday morning. She said, "I thought I'd find y'all out on the patio feeding the squirrels." Well, it's fun. I have a whole lot of pecans, and I crack them, and there's Bubba, and then there's Tom and Jerry. And there's Billy the Becker. There's four of them. And they all got their own personalities, and they come and eat. And I sit out there, and they'll come right up, you know, and I throw the pecans out. Well, I threw some pecans out. I was sitting there in the swing the other day, and those pecans are for my squirrels. That's what they're for. And I threw some pecans out there, and I was sitting there in the swing, and a couple of them were there eating, and I saw this little robin. Pretty good-sized robin, big red-breast robin, you know, came flying up, and he lit right out there by the patio. And he looked around, he saw those pecans. He looked at me, and he looked at the squirrels. I said, "Go on, Robbie, have one. They're for you, too, if you want them. You want a pecan? Get it." He came over a little closer. He looked at those pecans, watched those squirrels. He came over a little closer. In a minute, he walked over and picked him one up. And that's what I'm saying. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? I don't care if you're a robin or a squirrel, come to Christ. And if you do, the Father intended for you to come. That's exactly right. It's for all that are hungry. But if you're satisfied with this husk of the world, if that's all your ambition is, well, you're going to miss it because it's all in Him. And Satan has so many subtle ways of turning our heads toward these things. That's how we think all the time, things. And I know you fellas have... You have to get out there and mingle with the world and make your living. Mine comes a lot easier. The church takes care. I know, I try to remember those things. But if you can, these things are not the end. They're just means. They're not the end. The end is Christ. The goal is Christ. Life is Christ. Bread is Christ. The water is Christ. And if you can come to Him, come to Him, come to Him, in heart and faith and life, and feast on Him and feed on Him, you'll be saved. Because He says here, "All that my Father giveth me, they'll come to me." Now, here, note this right here. This is important. One thing is true of all that the Father gave to Christ. One distinguishing mark is true of all who are saved. One distinguishing mark is true of all who will be raised in the resurrection on that day. You know what it is? They come to Christ. You see, he keeps saying that all the way through here. All that my Father gives me will come to me. Him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. And then he said, he that hath learned of the Father comes to me, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Come to Christ. And I'm not questioning anybody's profession here. I'm not saying anybody's saved or lost. I don't know who's saved. Somebody said, you think I'm saved? I don't know. I'm not God. If you've come to Christ, you're saved. If you haven't, you're not. Now, I do know that. Because he keeps saying that. They come to me. And the thing for you to determine is not have you come to a position on doctrine, or have you come from Catholicism to Protestantism, or from some other ism to some. Have you come to Christ? And my friend, those who come to Christ come to him as sinners. And those who come to Christ come only to him. And those who come to Christ come to him for all they need. And there's no limit as to nationality. There's no limit as to guilt. Oh, but I'm so wicked. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. No limit. There's no limit as to age. There's no limit as to time. The snail got on board the ark as well as the stallion. God opened the door, and here goes the horse in there. Well, here comes the snail. But he's headed for the door. See what I'm talking about? He's headed for the door. By God's grace, he'll go. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying it took him a little longer, but his aim was the same. He got in Christ. And here's that eternal promise. All that my Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise, under any condition, I'll never, no, never, no, never cast out. People get religion and lose it. People make professions of faith and deny them. People join churches and quit them. But no man ever came to Christ and perished. No man ever came to Christ. I'm talking about to Christ. People have admired preachers and got to where they despised them. But no man ever loved him and despised him. That's where it is, coming to Christ. And he said, I'll never cast him out. When I think of that, never cast him out, I see our Lord when he was being led to before Pilate to be crucified. And he looked down there, and there was Peter sitting by the fire, his chosen disciple, his beloved brother, his companion, the one to whom he'd given so much and taught so much. There sat Peter by the fire, warm in his hand. Somebody said, well, he one of the disciples. No, I'm not. Somebody else came up and said, well, your speech betrays you. You talk like, I'm not one of them. I'll cuss a little and show you I'm not one of them. So he cursed a little. A little maid came up and she said, I know he's one of the disciples. I saw him with Jesus. He said, I know not the man. And our Lord went on to the cross, and that awful agony, alone, suffering and dying. He was buried and rose again. And he appeared to the women in the garden. And he said to them, he said, go and tell my disciples that I'm risen, and that I will meet them. Where was it? He told them, where? Galilee or somewhere. And he said, be sure and tell Peter. You remember his only name he called? He said, go and tell my disciples and Peter that I'll be waiting on them. Him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. Never, never, never. But here's the thing. It's coming to him, to Christ. Coming to Christ. That's where salvation is, in a person. And it's something that you just don't get across. It has to be revealed. It has to be revealed. And I hope these young people here, mothers and dads and older people, somehow God in His mercy will reveal to your heart that salvation not in your living a good life. Although God's people will live a holy life. But salvation is not in the fact that you love grace. Loving grace is not it, it's loving Christ. It's not the fact that some of you have been so generous and helped this church in so many ways, and you've given, kept us on television, and missionary work, but brethren, you know and I know that you can't buy God. Salvation's free. And I want you to know this. I want to declare it loud and clear. Please, look to Him. Come to Christ. Lay hold of Christ. Rest in Christ. Believe in Christ. And then if your mother and father forsake you, He'll take you up. If you lose everything you've got, you ain't lost anything. Really, just lost it ahead of time. You're going to lose it anyway. If you're bankrupt tomorrow, it won't make any difference. One of these days, you're going to be bankrupt anyway. If you lose your wife, if she dies, she's going to die anyway someday. You lose your husband, he dies, well, he's going to die anyway. But you can't lose Christ. See what I'm saying? He's everything. He's everything. And all these other things are really unnecessary. He's the necessity. My Lord is. And then, when you have these trials and things, you lose your health or your youth or your beauty. Or Christ is all these things. He's all in all. And if you have Him, you have perpetual eternal beauty, perpetual eternal life, perpetual eternal holiness, perpetual eternal wealth, perpetual eternal peace. In Him, lay hold of Christ. Come to Christ. Don't let anybody get between you and Him. Come to Christ. Our Father, oh, burn it in our souls. Burn it in our souls. Take our eyes off everything and everybody. Let us see the sun. Take our confidence out of ourselves, the flesh, or anybody, and let us believe on the Son. All these things that are so attractive, may they fade into nothingness, and we rest in the Son, trust in the Son, be one in Christ. Give us faith to believe Him. And build upon that sure foundation. He that believeth on Him shall never be ashamed. I pray for Christ's sake. Amen.